Good afternoon, committee members and all of those who are listening into this meeting. I'd like to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. The date is August 23rd, 2022, and the time is 1:02 p.m. Clerk, could you please take care of the roll call?
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congresswoman Rebar.
Here.
Congresswoman Redcorn. Congressman Potts. Congresswoman Shaw.
Present. Thank you. We do have a quorum. Congresswoman Rebar, could you take care of the prayer for us today?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to speak to you this day, Father God. I ask for blessings, Father God, upon our Osage Nation government, Father God, as we prepare for our CJO session. I ask special blessings for our legislative staff and all of the employees and directors getting ready and preparing for our budgetary session, Father God. Blessings upon our judicial branch and our minerals council. And most certainly, Father God, blessings upon all of our Osage people, wherever they may be, all of our decisions end up affecting them, Father God. I ask for prayers for all of our boards and all their board members, Father God, that we may move forward in a positive manner, Father God. I ask that you forgive our sins, Father God, and just whoever needs help, Father God, that they may just open their mind and their heart and their ears to you, Lord. And all this I pray in your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. You have the minutes of July 20th, 2022 available to you. Please take a moment to review them.
Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Rebar, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'll make a motion to approve the Congressional Affair minutes dated July 20th, 2022 as presented.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes of July 20th, 2022. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, no? Thank you, committee. The minutes are approved. Next on the agenda are payables. I have confirmed that we do not have any payables over $1,000 that need to be reviewed today. So we will move on to item number six, which is FY23 congressional budget. Our budget analyst, Jordan Frazier, will present the budget to the committee. Jordan?
Thank you, Second Speaker Shaw. Good afternoon, committee. The budget documents were sent out this morning at 9:39 a.m. They're logged as communication 22384. On page 2 of the communication, you can see a comparison of fiscal year 2022's legislative branch budget with fiscal year 23's. The summary shows budgets for Congress and OFPR combined. The FY23 legislative branch budgets would total $2,491,552. The total increase to the budgets would be $459,343, which is about 22.6%. On page 4, you can see OFPR's proposed budget. OFPR's budget will consist of $300,000 to the professional fees line to cover the cost of the OFPR contractor. Additionally, $71,880 is budgeted for IDC. If you move down to page 7, you can see Congress's budget and the changes to it. Salaries and wages is increased by about $43,000 or 4.3% because all staff got raises this fiscal year. Employee benefits and payroll taxes is reduced by about $24,000. Near the end of fiscal year 2022's third quarter, almost 61% of the employee benefits and payroll taxes line remained unspent, so a reduction to the line for fiscal year 23 seems in order. To reduce the line, I propose decreasing the amount budgeted for health insurance by about $3,200 per person. Treasury's budgeting for benefits at 30% of wages, so if an employee were making $100,000, then they would budget $30,000 for that employee's benefits. The legislative branch rate comes out to about 22.4%, but based on how much was used last year, I think this will still be sufficient, even though it's lower than what Treasury suggests a program budget. Travel is increasing by $9,000 because COVID restrictions have been loosened. Operations expense is being reduced by $5,000. Conferences, special events, and meetings is increased by $10,000 now that Congress is meeting in person again, and there are more opportunities to attend trainings because COVID restrictions have been loosened. Occupancy is reduced by $16,980. This assumes Congress will be confined to 104 West Main Street and not occupying the bank building. IDC is increasing by $75,479 because IDC cost recoveries are being collected on the professional fees line in fiscal year 23, and equipment acquisition and other expense lines are remaining the same. There is one issue that I want to address, which is the outlay. The legislative branch outlay for fiscal year 2023, which is set by ONCR 2205, is $2.1 million. These proposed budgets exceed the outlay by $391,552. Why? About $370,000 of the year-over-year increase and the legislative branch budgets are attributable to changes in the professional fees and IDC lines that occurred after the outlay was set. First, the outlay was set prior to receiving much information on the potential cost of an OFPR contractor. Second, it was set prior to renegotiation of Legislative Council's contract. And third, it was set before we knew that IDC would be charged to professional fees. So given those changes, I think that we're going to have to budget above what the outlay currently is, which is $2.1 million. Are there any questions?
Committee, this is your opportunity to discuss the budget, ask any questions of Jordan that you may have. Any questions?
Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Jordan, I was curious about the IDC. What is the current rate that the executive branch is using?
The current rate that we are budgeting with is 23.96%, which has been the rate since I have been here. We haven't received any updated rate.
Okay, Chair, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
I think the last we had an indirect cost negotiated agreement, I think it was dated November 4th through 2019. at that rate mentioned 23.96, so the period goes through 9/30/20. I was wondering if we could request either through the appropriations chair or the budget analyst to see if we could get the executed indirect cost negotiated agreement. I know that they're talking about using the multiple method, you know, charging professional fees, and is it equipment as well? Are you aware?
I'm sorry, what's your question?
Are they charging IDC on equipment as well?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so as far as we know, it's just on professional fees.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Jordan, go ahead.
Yes, compared with last year, I think professional fees is the only thing that's changed for our budget. I don't know that it was necessarily consistent across the board last year either. So, but for our budget, I don't believe that we charged IDC to professional fees last year.
Okay, Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I believe you're right. I think that they implemented the multiple allocation-based method only on the federal dollars or non-tribal dollars and not necessarily on the tribal, because they couldn't provide to Congress an executed agreement that showed the multiple method and what was being used. And so that's to my recollection that we went through the tribal budgets and removed that IDC cost to professional fees. Also, Chair, if we could, I'd like to request that from the appropriations chair or the budget analyst to receive that information. And then I would agree with the budget analyst that we should, in the appropriations chair discussion, I guess, regarding the projected revenue, we were notified by the treasurer that we would probably need to amend the FY23, and I think those discussions are being had, and maybe it will be addressed tomorrow. But Jordan's correct in that we only approved 2.1 million in our legislative branch outlay in the projected revenue resolution. So I would like to increase that if we could. And the reason being is that it'll affect that, you know, bottom line of the funds remaining that will be considered unobligated. And so it just gives us a truer picture as to where we are or where we're going for FY23.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. I agree with you 100%. I don't have a problem with either Jordan or requesting Jordan or the appropriations chair to obtain the IDC updated negotiations. I'm not certain if that has been completed. Do you have knowledge of that, Congresswoman?
Typically, Chair, that happens after you complete an audit. And so I think we've completed FY20. And 21. And so I think that there should be something in place because that it happens after that audit's been complete. And of course, you know, the last audit was submitted to us and we had a presentation from the auditors. So I can't remember what the treasurer said as a last update. And I think that was in the last appropriations meeting about where he was on that, on the negotiations with IDC. But I am curious, and the only reason is that using this method, as I say, just because you can doesn't mean you should. It really affects our tribal programs. And, it, you know, I'll always say it takes away from our direct services that we can provide to our people. And so, as you can see, that's a big increase in our branch's budget because, you know, the choice to use that. So.
Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler, go ahead.
Okay, I guess in response to all of that, those items are already on the agenda for discussion tomorrow. We'll specify to ask him to bring the report if he's got it ready to go. And the only real question here today is whether to adopt the current drafted budget, which would have the increase in it, or to not. And then it'll move forward to appropriations.
Thank you, Congresswoman. It sounds like because this is going to be addressed at tomorrow's meeting, I don't have a problem if the committee wishes to address this budget and review it again once we have that information. How does the committee feel about that?
Chair.
Yes.
I think it's better if we discuss it today and decide. Otherwise, we're going to have to come back and have more discussion about what to do with the budget. But if this is what this committee wants, is to use the 2.4 budget draft, then that will help with appropriations as far as the discussion with Tyler, and it all ties together.
Okay, that makes sense. If we don't need to wait for them that information, knowing that this is our request at this point, then I'm fine with that as well.
I don't know how much effect it will have, other than the bottom line being more in budget line items. I don't know how it will affect the IDC, how much.
Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman.
I totally agree, because I think that if we, after we discuss it tomorrow, and then I think that we need to get this passed out of committee, and if we have to do any amendments, we can do it in the committee of jurisdiction. So I'll make a motion to approve the FY23 legislative branch budget. Can I include clerk the OFPR at this time, or do they need to be two different motions?
When you say legislative branch, that will cover both.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Thank you. Do I need to restate?
Please.
Thank you, Chair. I'll make a motion to approve the FY23 legislative branch budget in the amount of $2,491,552.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you, committee. The FY23 budget has been approved as presented. Next on the agenda, number 7, consideration of Moss Adams contract. Attorney Gill is on the line. Mr. Gill, if you could go ahead and present that to the committee, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So we have now the final Moss Adams contract and the statement of work. It's a master agreement with a statement of work attached. So you should have two documents that have been sent out. Well, all we were really waiting on was negotiation with Moss Adams about the limited waiver of sovereign immunity. They have finally agreed to take that requirement out. Look at the master services agreement at section 13. There used to be a requirement of a waiver of sovereign immunity. If you look now, there is in the third paragraph a highlighted sentence that says we have to file within a year of any breach that Moss Adams would have. And then the next sentence says Moss Adams may not initiate an arbitration proceeding against the tribe without the tribe's express written consent. So they would have to ask us, essentially, to take us to arbitration. Everything else you have already seen that was negotiated previously. So now it's just up to the committee. If you guys are ready to approve it, then just need a motion to approve the master services agreement and statement of work for Moss Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Committee, are there any questions for Mr. Gill regarding the changes? And again, I just want to point out that the only change to this final agreement has to do with number 13 in the master services agreement. I believe that this contract, both of them were sent out to all of Congress. Clerk, is that correct? Previously, so there should have been time for the committee to look this over. And the committee previously had approved moving forward with this contract. Attorney Gill, do you feel comfortable with that?
Yes.
Thank you. So, committee, if you would like to present a motion to approve or not approve, I would look for that motion.
Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Rivard.
Real quick, Trey, would it be the second speaker that would be executing the document?
Yes, it technically could be the speaker or the second speaker, but since the second speaker is chair of congressional affairs, you usually have the second speaker sign the contracts.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve the master services agreement dated June 27, 2022, and the master services amendment statement of work dated June 27, 22, and to be executed by the second speaker.
Second. Thank you. There is a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? No. Thank you, committee. The Moss Adams contract has been approved. Final version. Thank you. Next on the agenda, legislative building update. Congresswoman Rivard, as our liaison, if you could provide an update, we would appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. So I had sent to the Minerals Council a survey, as discussed in the last meeting, to see if they were interested. And this morning we received the results, and only three of the members had participated. Two were a yes, one was a no. I reached out to Lacey, and she said that she actually called every Minerals Council member, and the result of the phone poll was 6 in favor and 2 no. So the majority of the minerals do want to participate in being part of our new building. And so the next step then would be to gather their information, our information, and create a scope of work. And I would like to work with the procurement office on that and then bring it back to the committee for approval, if that's okay.
Thank you, Congresswoman. I believe that would be fine. Do you have a timeline as to when that might occur?
Chair, I don't know. Let me reach out to procurement. I really don't know how long it would take. We have everything that's needed in a scope of work has been identified in these surveys. So that piece should be pretty easy, because they helped me to develop the questions that are needed for the scope of work for the RFQ. So I think we'd be in good shape. Do you have another meeting scheduled?
I do not at this time.
Okay.
I do not, but we can certainly take care of that whenever it's needed.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for Congresswoman Rivard regarding the legislative building? Concerns? Congresswoman, I want to say thank you for the surveys. I thought those worked out very well, and that was a good way to get input from all members of the Congress. So thank you very much for taking care of that. No other questions? Okay, next on the agenda is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Chair will make a motion to adjourn.
Second? All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you, committee. Have a good rest of the day.